We are talking about marriage and the marriage seminar, Biblical Secrets of Intimacy. We're on lesson 5, and this is dealing with the session 1 part, Get Real. The objective is to achieve a proper balance between personal honesty and personal respect. And again, the scriptural key is Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth in love. Don't sacrifice the truth, don't sacrifice the love. Truth in love. The boundary of the truth is that of love. And may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. All right, the second purpose then is to achieve, purposes to achieve in getting real is revealed openness. Revealed openness. This is the challenge in a marriage, to be true, to deal with truth. You have to reveal yourselves to one another. Revealed openness. Notice that God's love revealed himself to us. We see Matthew 11:25, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hath revealed them unto babes. These things are the ways of God, and he has revealed them to us, the simple ones who have chosen to believe. Matthew 16:17, Jesus answered and said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee. He didn't figure it out on his own. But my Father, which is in heaven, he revealed it. God is revealing of himself to us. And a large passage here, 1 Corinthians 2:6-15. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. This whole thing of God revealing himself, you and I would have no possible way of knowing God except he had revealed himself. We can't get there from here. Somebody said that would be like, Hamlet searching for Shakespeare in the story, you know. You're not going to find it. It's beyond it. It's categorically different. And so the only way we can know is that he shares that with us. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And he gives the example, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? You know yourself because of the witness of your spirit. We don't know what's hidden within everybody else, you see. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we may know the things which are freely given to us of God. So the Spirit of God reveals the things of God. As your spirit knows your inner workings, so the Spirit of God knows his and reveals them to us. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. The natural man is just limited. Natural here is the word soulish. He's a man whose highest part is only his soul and not his spirit. The soul is the mind, the will, and the emotions, all part of the natural man. For they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. We are unable to reach out beyond everything we know. God is beyond that, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. So we have the example of God's love, that when God, as God loves us, he chose to reveal himself to us. That's part of what love is. It's giving yourself. in that love. Secondly, then, God-like love reveals itself to one another. So we are to take that example and apply it in a marriage. 1 Corinthians 2:11, "For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him?" So as you know yourself, you are able to reveal that to others. But we see that godless attitudes conceal the heart. Where godlessness is resident, then we try to keep that from others. Proverbs 23:7, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee." So here's the sinful man who says, "Oh yeah, have a good time, you know," but inside he's going, "Ah, hope you choke on that, you know." And he doesn't reveal his heart. So this is where we're at in a marriage, you see. Get to where you open yourself to one another. And very often that process is stopped by the lack of interest on the person that you're talking to. I would like to share my heart with you. Yeah, but I don't want to listen to it. Let me see. So point number three, spend time learning everything about your mate. Proverbs 20:5, "Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out." Part of this whole process is learning how to convince the person you're talking to that you really want to know. That, how are you doing today? You know, a lot of people will say, "Hey, how are you doing?" But if you try to tell them, they're going, "Oh, well, I shouldn't have asked," you know. With your mate, spend some time asking how things go. I've mentioned before, my wife's boss is not a very good leader. He has no leading skills at all. He knows how to do his business, but he has no personal skills. And so it's like he studies how to make his employee, my wife, feel bad about herself, as though that's really going to motivate her to get going a little better. See? And so make her feel stupid, make her feel lazy. This will really motivate her to try to please him a little better. And I don't know, somehow it's not working. So only her character keeps her going. But you know, it's one of those things, when I ask my wife, "So how did it go today?" I have to kind of brace myself, because it's going to, you know, the dam is going to burst, the whole gushing sadness and feeling ill-used is going to come out. But that's what I'm there for, see. So I know in the end she's going to feel better because she told me. So it's one of those things. So I'll say, "How are you doing?" She said, "Better now." Better now. So draw it out. Say, you know, we've mentioned before, "No, really. How are you doing?" And you'll get those looks like, "Are you serious?" You know. But where things are a problem, draw that out. Also, ask. I've been interested to ask. I remember a long time ago, I asked David Kopp. I said, "What inspires you? What inspires you?" We were at your house, and he thought about it for a long time. Finally, came back with it. He said, "Football." And it's sort of been the truth, you know. That was the thing that got him. And I was asking little Jack, my grandson. We took him out for his birthday celebration, and I explained to him about inspiration, what being feeling inspired is. I said, "It's not just what you like and that type of thing, but it's what really makes you feel like, yes, I wanna get into this. This is what inspires me." And so I asked him what inspires him. And he thought about it, which is a, you know, always a good thing. And I said, he said, it's getting to meet all these different people and make friends with these different people that we go to. And I thought, well, you know, what a perfect son for an evangelist family. But this is the very thing that he looked forward to and regretted leaving the friends behind, but knowing that as time passed, they'd probably come back and meet again. He takes a lot of pictures, movies and things, and remembers them, and they write back and forth and so on. But ask, do you know what inspires your mate? You know, what at the heart is the thing that inspires them? Sometimes that's obvious, sometimes it's not. I mentioned before, but shopping with my wife is, for a man, it's just a difficult thing, you know. It's like, don't you know what you want, or are you going to just get it and come home, you know. But she wants to shop, you know. And I made it my challenge, because I would come up with something interesting for me to do. And so I would travel with her, and then she'd look at this thing and up on the mannequin and all that, you know, and I'd say, well, what do you like about that? And so I was trying to figure it out. So then I'd be going around, and I'd say, well, that's putting those things together. I think she'd like this. So then I'd say, what do you think of that? You know, I didn't say, I think you like that. I'd just say, what do you think of that? And then she'd give me her feedback, and I'd be able to, you know, correct my thinking, so that if heaven forbid, I ever had to actually buy her a gift of clothing without checking with her, I might even be close, you know. But it's one of those things where I am getting closer to her as I find out what her sense of style is at this point. Spend time learning everything about your mate. A man of understanding will know how to draw it out. So become that man of understanding. Become that woman of understanding. And learn to draw it out. Find out who it is that you're living with. Who is this person? Let's see. Then number four, develop a curiosity about the deepest fears and the highest goals of your mate. There are some general fears that I've noticed that women have. One is the fear of losing control of what they often have called a nervous breakdown. They've known people that have done this, you know. Technically speaking, there's no such thing as a nervous breakdown, I've been told. It's a mental attitude that gets, you know, gets run away with. That's one of the fears. Women often pay close attention to when their mother died or how their mother died or what happened to this and so on. It almost feels like that's written into their life stream, and maybe that's going to happen. And these things, sometimes, you know, biologically, that could be correct. Oftentimes, it's rather a superstitious thing that they haven't really analyzed. They haven't brought it out and looked at it, and I'm afraid of that, you know. One lady was actually feeling like she was ready to lay her life down because she found out she had a debilitating illness. And her son was asking, why are you so ready? You've always been a fighter. Why are you so ready? And finally it came down to it, well, this was the year my mother died, when she was my age. And this was it. She figured this was her time. So she wasn't willing to actually try to get better. He was able to bring that out of her, and she did get better. But all of these things, ask yourself, do you know? Most people are not ready to just bring out to you their deepest fears. That's a very scary and precious and fragile thing. So learn that. Develop a curiosity concerning the deepest fears and the highest goals of your mate. And to do all of this, of course, number five, cultivate good listening skills. Somebody said, being a good listener is very difficult because your eyebrows get tired. It's that sounds like you're pretending to be a good listener. But cultivate being a good listener. Here's some help from the Bible. Proverbs 18:13. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and a shame unto him. Learn what you're talking about before you offer an opinion. James 1:19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. I learned a good lesson from that. My wife, we were sitting in the kitchen, our old house, and she came in and she was banging things around in the kitchen. And so I said, what's going on? She said, oh, I've got this problem. And she was explaining to me. So I'm thinking through now, well, I don't know what to tell her, you know. So I kept nodding my head and saying, okay, what else? And then she went through some more stuff and more stuff. And at the end, I was just silent because I really had nothing to add to it, you know. I didn't have any solution to this problem. So I was waiting for the comment, well, you're a big help. Thanks a lot, you know. And she said, thanks. That helped a lot, just being able to get that out. Oh, glad to be of assistance. And I found over through the years that that's one of those things that I can do. God's given me patience, if nothing else. It's when my wife and I were leaving a family get-together, you know, and I say, we got everything? She says, I think so. I say, okay, I'll go start the car. And she'll say, okay, I'm just going to say goodbye to a couple people. I know it's going to be half an hour. But that's what I do. I get things ready. I get the car warmed up. And I wait. I know that's the way it works. Because as they were saying goodbye to the one person, it brings up a subject they forgot to discuss. And so you take care of that. But God's given me that patience. And that's the thing, to listen, you need the patience. You can't be ready to, one of the irritating things, and I mentioned this, I go to preachers especially, when a preacher sees that I'm visiting, you know, and he comes up and says, hi, how are you doing? And he's looking over the next person he's going to talk to, and it's like, he's already gone, so I say, yeah, fine, thanks. Let him go, you know. I don't want to do that with my wife, or with any of you, in fact. So cultivate good listening skills. Letter A, allow your mate to talk. B, give complete attention if possible. Okay, the house is on fire. You've got to have to postpone this conversation. You understand? But if possible, give complete attention. Listen to between the line things. Listen to not only what she says, but how she says it, how he says it, if it implies something, you see. And then C, give full understanding. Be thinking about this. Be able to ask intelligent questions that show that you're headed, you're thinking the same way that the person is thinking, or not, so that you can correct that. So do you mean this? Are you thinking that? Seek full understanding. Now, back when you were talking about that, I didn't quite understand that. Are you saying that this and this, you know, seek full understanding and apply everything you have to it? So as we started out and talking about this, what we're learning here is revealed openness. Be willing to open yourself. Be willing to receive it. That's a matter of love. The way love works. But then, secondly, respectful opinions. This is the one thing that I noticed my wife talking about her work. The boss has no respectful opinions. If she does something right, it's like, third grader knows that math, you know. If she does something wrong, it's like, how long have you been here? Don't you know? So three things, respectful opinions. First, avoid speaking in anger. We have so many reasons why we justify being angry. Listen to the scripture, Ephesians 4. Be angry and sin not. The question is, what are you angry about? See? Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. And I added that verse in because I think if you let wrath dominate when you go to bed at night, you have given a place for the devil. So be angry about wrong, but don't hold wrath against the person. And listen to James 1, 19 and 20. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Why? For the wrath of man categorically worketh not the righteousness of God. You see, I mean, that's a pretty simple statement, isn't it? And we want to argue, well, I think sometimes it does. Not according to the Bible. Your anger reveals more about your impatience and your disrespect than it has anything to do with righteousness. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Let's just settle it and understand that, you see. When you're upset, it's because of you, not because of some righteous thing. So it's a matter then for you to avoid speaking in anger. You may not be able to avoid the anger. You can avoid speaking while angry. Then don't let the sun go down on your anger. You make peace with you and God and with you and the person before the end of the day. Number two, avoid retreating into silence. You're not to blow up, you're not to clam up. It's an odd reference to sea creatures, isn't it? Closing that shell. Back up there in Ephesians 4, don't give place to wrath, you see. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Put a limit, it's a 24-hour limit. Indulge your anger until the end of the day. When the sun goes down, shut it off. You can't hold the anger in, just clam up and be silent. Give them the silent treatment. Not allowed. It's not allowed. It's not part of your bag of tricks. And then number three, avoid using manipulating tears. I suppose most of the men here know exactly what I'm talking about, and that is, she's in the wrong, but she's crying, so I'm going to let her do whatever she wants. Men tend to fall to pieces with manipulating tears. And it doesn't take long for a woman to figure that out. And even if it's not a, Machiavellian twist of the heart that says, I know how to handle this, it's a training that's built within. And you just don't understand the way it is with me. Men, you actually need to get to the place where you say, okay, if you're going to cry, I'll go someplace else. But when you're ready to actually deal with this, let's talk about it. 1 Peter 3, verses 1 and 2 and 4. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, not the Bible there, they may also without, literally a word, without a word from you, be won by the conversation or the lifestyle of the wives. While they behold your chaste conversation, lifestyle, your proper lifestyle, coupled with fear. All right. You witness to your husband by your godly lifestyle. Now, verse 4. But let it, that lifestyle, be the hidden man of the heart. To the wife, he says. In that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. God says having a quiet spirit, a meek spirit is one in subjection to the husband. That's a meek spirit. And a quiet spirit is a refusal to give in to hysteria. But if we do it his way, everything's going to fall apart. And so the wife refuses to give in to hysteria, refuses to give in to fear. See, the fear is the fear of God, but not the fear of man, because and the example he gives later is with Sarah, whose husband told her to just say that she was his sister, and she could have immediately said, well, what if somebody tries to take me for their wife, you know? And that's exactly what happened. But she said, well, I'll let you be the boss. And then God had to deal with him. God also dealt with the man that wanted to take her as a wife. God straightened it all out because she was doing it the right way. She didn't give in to hysteria, but called her husband master. So avoid using manipulating tears. Whatever trick you use to get your way, that's not the way you show respectful opinions, you see. Deal with things. Jeb was saying he gets into analytical mode when he's dealing with things at home. And he said, you know, if somebody said, yeah, well, I think you're a big fat slob, you know. In analytical mode, he'd say, well, I'm not sure how that fits into the argument. I don't see how it's relevant here. But actually, what seems to be relevant is this, you know. And I thought that's the perfect way we ought to be as we're dealing with one another. You're dealing with the facts. You're dealing with opinions. And so manipulative tears, the clamming up, the angry blowout, and all these things shouldn't have the negative effect that they almost always do. But learn then these two things about getting real. Revealed openness. Open the shielding to one another. Be ready to receive that in. Be eager to receive it in. Be eager to merge the way you understand each other. And then secondly, while that is happening, have respectful opinions. You may recognize that what is being expressed is immature. Well, is it really immature, or is it just your perception, you see? At any rate, be respectful in your opinions and treat each other with that kind of kindness. Comments or questions? Bring up anything you'd like to share? All right. Sort of a challenge to you to open up one to another and get real with each other. If I come walking into my house wearing a mask, pretending to be somebody else, Darth Vader, my wife and I can't get close because I'm pretending to be somebody else, you see. But if I put on the mask being Pastor Weigel or some other person, you know, and I'm not the real me, how are my wife and I supposed to be close if I'm pretending? How can you be close if you're pretending? Yes, sir. Yeah. Well, I would set that challenge before each of you married people and say, actually schedule a time not to go do and play and eat and all that, but to sit and quietly share and talk and ask and delve. And not to point and laugh later. You thought that? That's not respectful opinion, see. Rather, it's merging the hearts and understanding. Anyone else then? All right, well, let's bow for prayer. Father, we thank you that we have this opportunity to look to your word to understand our lives. We see your example. And we are encouraged then, as you have, in the ultimate sense, chosen our mates for us. You have brought us together. You have encouraged us to be a team, for it was not good that man should be alone. We ask that you might help us to take full advantage of that, rather than having a disrespectful attitude that person wouldn't know enough or care enough to help us with our issues, rather to give ourselves entirely one to another. And then with respectful opinions, be able to actually work together as a team to accomplish the things that are most important in life. We pray thy blessing. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.